Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my buddy, Pat McShay, investigative reporter extraordinaire, to come back on the program, and we're going to discuss information overload. This will be volume number 24. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be back.
Boy, the news is blowing up, isn't it? And some of it you have to read between the lines. There's quite a bit of hubbub concerning Iran, isn't there?
Yeah, there sure is. You know, I think a future war with Iran would be catastrophic. I regularly listen to Professor Mohammed Mirandi, who lives in Tehran, and he cuts through the Western media propaganda that he says is more like the old Soviet propaganda. But, you know, these Western media reports of major dissension of the Iranian people, and they cite the recent protests that Mirandi says were violent riots, not peaceful protests. And he said that people were killed during the riots, but he said this 40,000 people dead figure that the Western media is claiming is just ridiculous. And he also said that millions of Iranians have since taken to the streets there in support of the Iranian government. Americans won't be treated as liberators the way they're acting now. If you remember, they told us the same thing when we went into Iraq. But it appears to me that Bibi Netanyahu is threatening Trump that if he doesn't bomb Iran, Israel's going to go in and force his hand with the Congress and the Senate, who Israel has thoroughly blackmailed, according to the Epstein files. So think about what's happened since the Israeli false flag attack on 9/11, 2001. We've spent trillions of dollars on the Iraq war for Israel, bombing Syria, Yemen, Iran, Afghanistan, Gaza, the West Bank, trillions of dollars, all for Israel, regime change in Libya. In the last 2.5 years, most people would be shocked to learn that we've sent Israel over $30 billion since the Hamas incursion in October of 2023. But Israel's now demanding that Iran give up their ballistic and hypersonic missiles, which they know that Iran will never do. And Israel has no hypersonic missiles, and their defense systems are not capable of stopping these hypersonic missiles. So Mirandi says that Iran has hundreds of thousands of short-range missiles that can reach every single U.S. ship and base in the region, and they've got tens of thousands of long-range missiles and claim that they've got missiles that can reach the U.S., and they're preparing for war with the U.S., according to Mirandi. So they've already promised to block the Strait of Hormuz, and if that happens, gas will go up to $100 a gallon. What then?
I think that might be one of the reasons we went in and took over Venezuela's oil, is to make the Strait of Hormuz moot.
Remember when I said that Trump was likely doing that for Israel? The first shipment of oil from Venezuela went to Israel about a week ago.
Yep. So, but you mentioned the regime changes that have taken place in Libya, throughout the Middle East,
Syria.
We could say or we can say Venezuela now, but and now they're targeting Cuba. There was a picture, and you posted this picture on Twitter. Everybody should know who Miriam Adelson is. Her and Sheldon spent buku bucks backing Donald Trump in 16 and then again in 24.
Yep.
Big time Zionist. And she was sitting next to somebody. And if you understand the regime changes that have already taken place, this picture speaks a thousand words, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's the Shah of Iran's son, who was a brutal, ran a brutal regime until 1979, when the mullahs finally took over there. But Pahlavi, the Shah's son, he would be a puppet leader for Israel and the United States. And his family stole billions of dollars from Iran before they fled the country. So I don't think he would last very long, because the Iranian people would not put up with that, I don't think. The Iranian people aren't stupid. You know, the president of Iran is a surgeon. He's a heart surgeon, a cardiologist. You know, not all the people who run Iran are clerics and mullahs. They've got a lot of smart people. And like Professor Mirandi says, their military leaders all went to military schools like Annapolis and West Point. So these aren't dumb people.
True. Yeah, the Shah, they had the Savak. That was their...
Yeah, the secret police, basically.
Yeah.
Would round up dissidents and torture and murder them. And yeah.
But I've read a number of things about the family, and the fact that there were so many Iranians that saw that the Shah was a puppet for the United States and Israel back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And you would have to assume that if there is a regime change, if they're successful, I mean, we couldn't even get Afghanistan straight. But
right.
If this were to happen and they stick this guy in there, he's not going to make it. You're right. He's not going to make it, because they know how much his parents stole from the people of Iran.
Yeah. And most Americans don't even know that the leader of Iran was taken out in 1953 in a coup that was led by the oil companies. He was going to nationalize the oil in Iran, and the U.S., the CIA, took out their leader in a coup and put the Shah of Iran in place as the leader. So even he was put in, you know, illegally after a coup. You know, and look what we've done in Syria. We took out a family that they've been trying to take out for 40, 50 years since the Abbas's father led the country. And Abbas was an educated man who wanted peace. He wanted the best for his family. And we depicted him as a horrible dictator when he was loved by the people. He was also a doctor. He was a dentist. And we took him out. And people don't even know that the guy that's running the country now in Syria is a former terrorist leader that the U.S. was funding. Part of that whole ISIS, you know, group of terrorists that were being funded by the U.S. and Israel. Now they're still bombing in Syria, and Israel is still bombing southern Iraq right now. They long to take over the water from the Latani River in southern Syria because Israel has a water problem. They don't have any. They're also keeping the people in Gaza without water. People are dying of starvation, and they can't get water in there. So it's really disgusting what the U.S. is sponsoring, and that is the evil empire of Israel.
I saw a video with Lindsey Graham, Mike the Traitor Huckabee, in a conference with Bibi and some other Israeli leaders. Is that happening here recently?
Oh yeah. Lindsey Graham just visited Israel again, and he's over there schmoozing with Netanyahu, telling Trump that he needs to start bombing over there. These people are nuts. And then you look at Marco Rubio, Fox News talks about what a great job Marco Rubio's doing. And really everything Marco Rubio is doing is pro-Israel. So is there any doubt that Israel controls our foreign policy? Bibi Netanyahu wanted us to take over in Venezuela, and we did.
Yep.
He wanted regime change in Libya, and we did. He wanted regime change in Syria, and the U.S. backed it. He wanted bombings in Yemen, so the U.S. is bombing Yemen. You know, this is ridiculous. Just like I said, for the last 25 years, the U.S. has spent a good $10 to $12 trillion. People wonder where this huge deficit is coming from. My God, tens of trillions being spent on wars for Israel. It's got to stop.
You would think, Pat. There's a Tucker Carlson. Now, they call him a Jew hater. Ted Cruz just loathes Tucker Carlson for telling the truth. But Thomas Massie was on the Tucker Carlson Network, and he interviewed with Tucker. He brought up something that Tucker, who is a Washington, D.C. boy, said he had no idea. But Massie dropped let me talk to my AIPAC dude. And Tucker said, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean? Every member of Congress, now, at least on the Republican side, I don't know about the Democrats, but on the Republican side, every member except me has an AIPAC dude.
Oh, yeah.
So
they've all got handlers. And what happens is, and what he explained to Tucker, is before they do a bombing or before they start a war or whatever, Congress knows ahead of time. And they'll buy stock in these companies, these defense companies that make the missiles and make the tanks and make the weapons. And so these people vote for the war knowing that their stock portfolio is going to quadruple as soon as the conflict starts. So Americans need to think about that too. This is all war propaganda for Israel. They cannot lose sight of the fact that none of these wars would have happened if not for Israel's control over our politicians, period.
Right. AIPAC. The thing that Tucker and Thomas Massie talked about was, wait a minute, and Massie goes, there's not a British dude, there's not a German dude, there's not any other dudes except the AIPAC dude. That tells you right there that basically all you need to know is that whenever something is appropriated through Congress, the first, and Ted Cruz basically admitted this, what is best for Israel? Ted Cruz, why did he run for Senate? Because I want to do everything I can to help Israel. Not America, not Texas, Israel.
Right. And another thing, too, those other countries you talked about there, they have to register as foreign agents with through FARA. Israel has never had to register as a lobbyist, AIPAC. And so they have full access, total access to all of our politicians. And so, you know, they get what they want. And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and his file on every single one of those guys who they've been spying on from the second they got to Congress, a lot of them, they were spying on them before they got to Congress, and they know everything about them. So if Bibi does want war against Iran, it won't matter what Trump wants, because Congress and Senate will override Trump, guaranteed.
Now, when he went in and took Maduro out of Venezuela, people were in Congress were up in arms, and they pushed through some bill that limited his War Powers Act into the nation of Venezuela. But I guarantee you, in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that if Bibi wants to go and start bombing Iran and invading to create greater Israel, because we know that's the end game, then Congress will be pushing Trump to help Israel and send our boys and girls into harm's way, not for not for what's best for America, but what I can do to benefit Israel.
I mean, well, yeah, and the scary thing here too is you can't get the Senate to vote to have people bring ID to the voting booth. They can't make them bring ID to show that they're a citizen, but it won't take anything for Trump to get them to bomb Iran. They'll all be for that.
Big time. Because they're being paid to. They have their AIPAC handlers.
Yeah. It's really disgusting. And, you know, Ted Cruz uses his Bible theory that we have to protect Israel, which, you know, I wrote recently in an article that you can't be a Christian and be a Zionist, because then you're denying Jesus in the new covenant, right?
Exactly.
How can you be a Zionist? Zionists, they purport that the right of Israel to return based on Abraham's decree 4,000 years ago is still in play. And it's not. That's not biblical. That's Schofield. That's not biblical. That's Schofield Bible stuff.
And Schofield was bought and paid for by the Jews.
By Samuel Untermeyer and Rothschild family.
The Jews. Correct. And, you know, I want to talk about Ted Cruz a minute because of his Bible thumping and bless Israel, be blessed. I want to be on the side that, and I'm going to beat this horse until Ted Cruz is no longer in office, and maybe a little bit later. But
right,
and I'm not sure it's in the Bible. I don't know exactly where. Then he's not biblical. First and foremost, you know that Ted Cruz is just parroting the mantra that he's heard forever because his AIPAC dude probably told him what to say. But he went on Twitter and he posted this quote. He said, quote, "Is there a Jew hater on earth who Tucker Carlson won't have as a guest on his show? And for the record, there were 1,200 Jews massacred on October 7th. Close quote. What is wrong with that statement, Pat?
Well, I think I responded to that, but I wrote an article about that attack, and Bibi Netanyahu and the Israelis had prior knowledge. They ordered a stand down at the border. They ordered patrols, routine patrols, stop that morning. Everything they did was different because they wanted that attack to happen. They put the Hannibal Directive in place. The Hannibal Directive gives the Israeli army the go-ahead, the green light, to kill Israeli hostages, and they were firing on the Israeli kibbutzes with their missiles from their gunships, missiles from their tanks. If anyone bothered to look at the parking lot that had hundreds of cars in it that were all burnt to a crisp, that could not have been done by Hamas. No, they did not possess weapons that could blow up and burn to a crisp hundreds of cars. That had to have been done by the tanks and the helicopter gunships provided by the United States Department of Defense. So, yes, they killed a number of the Israelis themselves. And you can even go on YouTube and listen to Israeli soldiers admit that everything that morning was different, that the patrols were called off, and that the Israelis were firing on Israeli citizens. So the American media has covered this all up, and it's all out there if you want to dig a little bit.
Exactly. Last week I did I went down the rabbit hole, Pat, and I did a deep dive and did a lot of research on what has happened in the West Bank and in Gaza. There was one person who admitted that there were Apache helicopters, United States military helicopters, that we have sold or given away. Not sold. Please, come on. Excuse me. Pardon my mistake. That we have given to the Israeli Defense Forces that were just unleashing rounds and thousands of rounds of ammunition on the people. And he admitted certainly that there was no way for these Apaches to know who was Israeli and who was Palestinian. And they were just going through that. That was his way of admitting that the Hannibal Directive was in place, that they didn't care who they killed. And if you go back to pre-1948 and you go back to the 30s and 40s with Hitler, Hitler was kicking the Jews out of the country. They were getting booted out from another country because he was taking over the banks, the manufacturing, and he wanted to nationalize. He wanted German people to own German businesses and German banks. And he tried get the Jews out of his country, and the people in charge of the Zionist World Congress said, "We don't want them." They sacrificed those people for the sympathy of getting control of British mandated Palestine.
Yeah, I wrote recently in my new article that the Germans gave them the choice to take them, all of them, and they refused to take them. And they said that, they said later in writing that they needed the sacrifice of those people. They needed that sacrifice to get their state of Israel, and they allowed those people to die.
Exactly.
And then it later came out that there was a ship with hundreds of survivors of Germany and the war-torn Europe that made it all the way to the coast of Gaza, and the ship was blown up. All the people died, and they blamed it on the Arabs. It later came out that the Israelis blew the ship up, so they did not want these people. And David Ben-Gurion and Theodore Herzl said, we don't want these other Jews. We want elite Jews who are Zionists, that that want to go along with the program. They didn't want a bunch of poor Jews from Poland and Germany. That's why they allowed those people to die. So the whole Holocaust narrative falls apart when you start reading real history. That's why they had to make laws to hide it.
Yes, sir. So if they sacrificed those Jews to get a homeland for the so-called Jews, they're not ancient Israelites. They call themselves Jews. But they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Let's go to Revelation 2:9, verse 3:9. But if they were willing to do that back in the 40s, why wouldn't they do that October 7th? Because now they want to wipe out the entire 2.2 million Palestinians that are in the prison of Gaza. And they want to settle that for Israel Jew-only lands. It's just the deep dive I took, Pat, was so gut-wrenching. They did an interview, Pat, and with this little boy, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. He said, I just want to die. I'm tired.
Yeah.
That's how badly these Palestinians are being treated.
Yeah.
They don't care because they're beasts. They're goy.
Well, and if you look through the Epstein files, he uses he and other Jews, and that's what you see is in these files, a lot of Jews, a lot of Zionists, in these files, and they call the non-Jews Goyim all throughout the Epstein files. Every time Epstein refers to non-Jews, he uses the term Goyim, which if people don't know, that's a negative term for non-Jews.
Yeah, you're a beast.
It basically is cattle.
Yeah, you're beasts. You're beasts of the field. Trump's son-in-law, Kushner, his rabbi says that there is not one Gentile worthy of life according to the Torah. So that the people that want to call themselves Judeo-Christians, that want to be pro-Israel, that want to be Judaizers, really have been sold a bill of goods. They have no clue how evil and how badly these people think about non-Jews. And if you convert to Judaism, you're still a Gentile. You're still goy, but you can be a slave. If you start looking at it that way, it's not any different than a Muslim saying, if you don't convert to be a Muslim, then you need to die. We will kill you. So two sides of the same coin, Pat. It's just ridiculous the fact that how many people continue to say, bless Israel, be blessed, curse Israel, be cursed, and they have no clue the evil intention that these Zionists want to unleash on everybody. If you're not a Jew, you don't deserve to live. And if you do get to live, you're going to be a slave. You're going to be our slaves. And I wish that I could convey that in more eloquent terms, but you get down to brass tacks, and that is the ultimate plan, the greater Israel plan, where they will be leaders of the entire world because they know what's best for everybody. And if you don't go along with it, you got to die. The evil that permeates from that religion is astonishing. And I want to get into the Epstein files a little bit more on the second half. My guest today is Pat McShay. We have to take a brief pause. But when Pat and I come back, we are going to dive right back in. We're covering Information Overload, Volume 24. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. We have a brand new book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled One Nation Under Blackmail. Actually, it is a 2-volume set. Following World War II, every U.S. administration has aligned itself with the drug traffickers, arms dealers, branches of the mob, known enemies of the state, assassins, and involved itself with murder, smuggling, human trafficking, the sex trade, Ponzi schemes, money laundering, bank fraud, and many other illegal activities. Exhaustively researched, Whitney Webb's One Nation Under Blackmail is a damning indictment of the consequences resulting from the nearly century-old relationship between both U.S. and Israeli intelligence, along with the organized crime network known as the National Crime Syndicate. This book explores how that nexus between intelligence and organized crime directly developed the sexual blackmail tactics and networks that would later enable the sexual blackmail operation and other crimes of pedophile and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Discover a comprehensive history of the interconnectivity between sections of the government, the military-industrial complex, the banking industry, and organized crime and sexual blackmail. While other books on Jeffrey Epstein focus on the depraved nature of his crimes, his wealth, and his most famous politically connected friends and acquaintances, this book reveals the extent to which Epstein's activities were state-sponsored through an exploration of his intelligence connections. This is a two-volume set. We're only asking $45. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $51 for One Nation Under Blackmail. You can order your copy today by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for this book on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method. Hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. I will tell you, this is an outstanding two-book set written by Whitney Webb. You need to get your copy today. I was flabbergasted when I read it. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Gary.
Now, during the break, you and I were visiting, and we were reminiscing on some of the quotes related to how Jews feel about non-Jews. And one that came to my mind was Rabbi Schneerson. Can you remind everybody what this guy had to say about Goyim?
Yeah, Rabbi Schneerson, the Rebbe, was probably the most famous rabbi in the last 100 years and was revered by everyone. Jared Kushner visits his grave every time he's in Israel. Donald Trump visited his grave. But the Rebbe said that the only reason for non-Jews to live is to serve the Jewish people. And another thing, I wrote about this a few years ago, a rabbi group, Chabad rabbis in Israel, came out and said that non-Jews should be their slaves. you know, when Mossiak returns, what most people don't understand, when Mossiak returns, they believe that non-Jews will be their slaves in the New World. So that's what they're working toward, to enslave the rest of us.
And Benjamin Netanyahu kind of mirrors the same sentiment, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. He's part of the Chabad movement. So is Jared Kushner. And you mentioned what Jared Kushner's rabbi recently said, that if there is one non-Jew, there's too many. They literally hate Christians. They hate Americans. In March 1923, the Jewish World Conference asserted fundamentally Judaism is anti-Christian. Why should we believe in God? We hate Christians and Christianity. Even the best of them must be regarded as our worst enemy. They preach love of one's neighbor and pity, which is contrary to our principles. Christian love is a hindrance to the revolution. Down with love and with one's neighbors. What we want is hatred. We must know how to hate. That's from the Jewish World Conference. So anyone that thinks that these people today love Christians or have any shared interest in Christianity, when they hear the term Judeo-Christian, there is no alliance. These two are diametrically opposed. There is no Judeo-Christian alliance. They hate us. And that's what people need to get through their heads.
We are useful idiots, right? That's what Netanyahu called us?
Bibi Netanyahu was asked, it's on video, he was asked what he thought of Zionist Christian supporters, and he said they're scum, but they're useful idiots for our cause. Does that sound like Bibi likes us very much?
So he sits across the conference table with the traitor Huckabee. He has this disdain. It's so sad that our ambassador to Israel doesn't understand how much he is loathed. I mean, Martin Luther wrote a book called On the Jews and Their Lies, talking about how he thought that if he was respectful and kind and generous to the Jews, that they would reciprocate, until a Christian who had been converted from Judaism opened his eyes and told him exactly how they really felt. So,
right.
Before the halftime break, I said I wanted to get into some of the new stuff that's come out in the Epstein files, but this ties in with this mindset. So
yeah, sure does.
You've got the AIPAC dudes in Congress. You've got Epstein, who in my heart of hearts, I believe completely, he was an operative for the Mossad to get dirt on these crazy Gentiles so that everything could be funneled to benefit greater Israel. Am I wrong in that?
No, you're not wrong. And there is a lot of sex and a lot of other stuff in there, but there is also, you can't forget that Epstein was part of the Iran-Contra weapons smuggling. And who's in charge of that? George H.W. Bush and his Bush crime family, William Barr. William Barr was in the CIA before he became Attorney General under Trump. William Barr was involved in weapons smuggling, drug smuggling, and he worked with Jeffrey Epstein. William Barr's father was in the OSF coming out of World War II, and I'm convinced, and so are others, that he was still working for the CIA when he recruited Jeffrey Epstein to the Dalton School in New York. He didn't even have a college degree, and he was teaching some of the richest people in the world's children How did that happen? William Barr's father was also an author who wrote books about a alien race, a futuristic society where the people have sex with children. So maybe that's what Barr's father and Jeffrey Epstein had in common.
The fact that I read something that it was redacted, but it was on Twitter or X. The emails that were going about concerning the Epstein files, and then, you know, Bondi just said that they were going to release these Epstein files, and then the next thing, well, that's all we have. So you can't trust Bondi because she's a Jewish operative for the Zionist Nation of Israel.
The emails have some distressing things in there. Fox News and none of the other mainstream media will talk about the really horrible things, but they were literally torturing these girls. Leon Black was named in the emails as someone who had sex with a 7-year-old girl and bit her until she bled. Another girl testified to the FBI. In her statement, she said that Prince Andrew raped her and her friend and said that her friend was killed by Prince Andrew and others. There's torture throughout. It's not just sex with 14 to 17-year-olds. It's sex among girls under 10 years old. There's torture, and there's also some horrible things about child sacrifice, cutting up infants, pulling out the entrails. This stuff is all in these files. And you can read about it if you want to. A lot of people probably can't even handle what is depicted in these emails. But all of this stuff is covered up, and they know all of the perpetrators' names. Think about that. They know who these people are, and they're protecting them. They've had these people's names for 20 years. You know, a lot of people don't know that they took 12 terabytes of photos, videos, and perpetrators and victims' names from Jeffrey Epstein's safe in his Palm Beach mansion. And the lead detective dropped dead suddenly at age 50, and his partner feared for his life, and he took copies of all that information, 12 terabytes, and fled to Russia with that information. So most people don't know about that. Most people aren't writing about that. Again, you need to get into people like Whitney Webb. You can find her on YouTube. She writes about, you know, a lot of the stuff that really went on. The author of the Franklin cover-up. Also, he put out the Epstein Black Book back in 2015. And, you know, all this stuff's been covered up. And now they're trying to tell us that there's nothing to see here. But Pam Bondi has been covering this up since she was the Attorney General of Florida. She had all that information over 20 years ago.
She had to cover it up because she is a Zionist stooge. And
yep.
I'm scrolling while you're chatting and I'm listening. I'm scrolling through. I did a search on Twitter. I just typed in Epstein file. I did not know this, but Thomas Massie was interviewed yesterday, or it was this guy posted it yesterday. Thomas Massie said, quote, "Israel is influencing the Epstein file release. Israeli intelligence and our own CIA was wrapped up with Epstein," close quote. That's what Massie said in the interview. If Massie gets reelected, and I know AIPAC is going to do everything in their power to defeat him during the upcoming midterms, but if Massie gets reelected, can you see somebody with this much knowledge not being handled the way that detective was?
Well, you got to wonder if that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't leave Congress. I think she was going to be reelected too. Trump talked about, you know, bringing someone in to run against her, but she was very popular in her district, as is Thomas Massie. And I don't think they're going to get rid of Massie. I don't think that they would have gotten rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene, but if she said that Trump told her that he knew a lot of the people in the files and he didn't want their names to get out. You know, you got guys like Ronald Lauder. Ronald Lauder was the guy that was involved in the sale of the Twin Towers back in 2000 to Ronald Lowy and Silverstein. He was part of Les Wexman's mega group, the Israel mega group. These guys have all kinds of powerful influence around the banking circles, real estate circles. And Ronald Lauder, his son-in-law, was just picked by Trump to be the new Fed chairman, Kevin Warsh. Ronald Lauder, you know, all these billionaire Jews, Bill Gates, who was involved with the poisonous COVID vaccine. He also gave his wife a venereal disease that he got from one of Epstein's girls. You know, all these guys in these files are Zionists and they're Jews. A lot of them are Jewish billionaires. The guy that paid for Trump's accuser in the rape trial, Reid Hoffman, another Jewish billionaire that had been to the Epstein Island, that was raping young girls. Sergey Brin, the head of Google, billionaire, Jew, also an Epstein client. I mean, just go down the list. If they were to finally unredact all these names, people would be really shocked, I think. But, and then you have movie stars. Virginia Guthrie Roberts, she said that Barack Obama had been to the island and that he was having sex with young boys. She said she also saw Tom Hanks and George Clooney on the island. So they're not putting these names out there, but they're out there if you want to find them.
You have to do the dive. It's not controlled media. There is no way they're going to put this information out there.
No.
Because they're controlled by the Jews. I don't know how much simpler to put it, but if you have a Twitter account, number one, you need to follow Pat, and you can find Pat on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at J_McShay, McShay. You need to follow Pat because he is always posting relevant information that we all need. But if you go to Twitter, you have a Twitter account, just do a search, type in Epstein file. The amount of stuff that I have just been scanning through while we're chatting about this is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And it's there, yeah. But you have to want to do a deep dive. You have to want to know what's really going on. You have to, as disgusting as all this is, you need to know the players. We need to do something to remove these players from their seats of power.
You know, another thing that should anger everybody is they're allowing congressmen and senators to read the unredacted files. You know, why are they letting them read them? You know, most of them are in the files. You know, it's the American people who want to see the files. That's what really annoys me. I want to read the unredacted files.
We're not talking national security. We're talking a national criminal, an international criminal network.
And Todd Blanche, the deputy prosecutor, attorney general, under Payne Bondi when he was asked a week ago about the perpetrators and are they going to be prosecuted? And he said, what perpetrators? I mean, seriously said that. So that's why we have to see these files, because the deputy attorney general is just bold-faced lying to us.
You know,
and so's Bondi. Yeah. And so's Dan Bongino. My God, Dan Bongino comes back on his podcast and he acts like everybody's stupid. You know, he acts like the FBI is doing all they can. It's ridiculous. We know that the FBI had all these files, all these photographs, 12 terabytes of photographs and videos. And that was just from the Palm Springs house. Can you imagine what they found on the island or at the ranch, the Zorro Ranch in New Mexico or the Manhattan home? Good Lord. We're talking, you know, probably 30 terabytes of photos and videos. So, and not only that, but they know that the FBI in the Southern District of New York had Huma Abedin's laptop that had all kinds of information about her and Hillary Clinton that has never been released, probably never will be. And then you had Hunter Biden's laptop that the FBI had, and we've never gotten anything out of that other than, you know, what a few handful of people were able to glean from that, but for leaks,
you know.
But the fact that they're not getting any information on any of that should anger everybody.
The only thing we got out of Hunter Biden's laptop was a bunch of lies. We found out that politicians were spied upon, that CBS news correspondents lost their job because of a cover up. And if you think about this, Pat, people in Congress are employees to the American people. They are not the potentates they think they are. They work for us. And the fact that they have insider knowledge, they see the names, they see the pictures, they can have access to anything, almost anything they want because of their position. The fact that everything is being hidden from the American people is an abomination because they work for us. We don't work for them.
I agree.
The scope, the depth, the breadth of what this Epstein deal is, we can't even fathom that, Pat, because it's so large. When you realize that it emanated from our ally in the Middle East because of control and their greater Israel plan, I mean, it shows how easily our nation's leaders are subverted. It shows how little they care about their constituents and how much they care about themselves, their power, and their power is derived from the amount of money that they can scam. We talked about the Shah scamming millions and billions of dollars before he vacated Iran. Our politicians are doing the same thing with insider trading, and we still keep putting these people in office.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got midterms coming up in November. Can we trust these elections, Pat? There's more and more information coming out about what happened in Georgia with the Dominion voting machines.
Oh, yeah. They know that there were hundreds of thousands of illegal votes. They've proven even before they put out a report on the 145,000 ballots that they just confiscated that whistleblowers came forward right after the election saying that they were handed stacks of ballots that had never been folded. These were brand new ballots that were filled in and they were told to scan them and count them. These were supposed to be mail-in ballots. So the whistleblowers said these couldn't have been mail-in ballots. They were never mailed. But they found thousands and thousands of others. They know that Trump won that state by a landslide. They know he won Pennsylvania by a landslide. They know he won Michigan and Arizona by a landslide. And they know he won Wisconsin by a landslide. So, and then there were even other states that Trump should have won, like Colorado and Nevada. But they don't want to have to produce ID, you know. That'd be too much for them.
You know, that gets me, Pat, because if you want to get on an airplane, what do you have to have?
You got to have ID to do everything. Just everything.
To cash a check, to open a bank account.
To get food stamps, to get unemployment, to get, well, any type of welfare, you have to have ID. And so they claim that poor people can't do it because they just don't have ID. It's poor people that need ID. They need it for everything that they get, right?
Yeah, and it's almost as if these politicians, like Chuckie Schumer, are claiming that, And it's targeted because allegedly black people aren't smart enough to go down and get an ID. That's the way it's framed from what Schumer and those on the left that are complaining about this SAVE Act, that these people are not smart enough to go down and get an ID. So
that sounds kind of racist to me.
It's very racist to me, Pat.
They just showed a video yesterday on one of these shows on Real America's Voice of Chuck Schumer probably 30 years, 25 years ago, talking about how that we need to make people produce an ID to vote. That was Chuck Schumer. And now he's arguing against it today. I love seeing these old videos of Bill and Hillary Clinton talking about how we've got to have secure borders, and we've got to deport the people that are here illegally. And every one of these Democrats used to be Barack Obama.
Yeah.
They all used to be for these things, and now they're all against them.
The hypocrisy is so thick. There's video evidence of what they've said. All you have to do is go look, but it's out there. And I've played a few of the clips, Pat, from Hillary and Obama, even Biden when he was in the Senate, that these illegals need to be rounded up, and the Republicans are just not doing their job. They're not sending these people home. And we got to secure the hypocrisy.
Biden has such a hypocrite. He has flip-flopped on just about every issue.
For sure.
What a clown.
What an absolute clown. Well, Pat, we have flown through an hour, man. Can you believe that? It just goes so fast.
It really does. Great talk.
I appreciate you coming on, making time for us, and I know there's a number of listeners that enjoy having you on. I want to give a shout-out to Roma. She adores the programs that we do, so I wanted to put her out there because she's sharing this information with so many people. I appreciate what you do up there, Roma. That's going to take care of this week's program. Pat and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.